I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, and fonts can be scary.
Honestly. But also glorious.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will accept this.
I enjoy a nice font. A fitting font.
Fonts. Three and a half stars for font, for the concept of fonts.
Three and a half?
And this is what this segment is all about.
Four and a half. Fine.
What's been going on? What have we been watching?
Well, we're going to jump straight into a previously on Flicks and That.
Yes.
So I left him a cliffhanger last week as I went to go and see new Stephen King adaptation, The Long Walk.
Yes.
Which I already knew was kind of going to be lean and mean and a bit kind of grimy and grunty. And I really enjoyed this film. It was a tense watch, but it's set in a... I guess like a retro fascist USA. It sort of feels like it's the 60s. And that's probably reflective of the sort of era it's written in, written by Stephen King, published in the late 70s. And I think it sort of echoes conscription in the Vietnam War. There's sort of a theme echoing around this movie. It's about a group of young men who have all volunteered to take part in the Long Walk, which is... walking along the road has no end. They walk until there's only one person left walking, and they eliminate contestants by shooting them in the head for making infractions, like you get your third warning for your speed dropping below 3 miles an hour, you get a bullet in the head, you walk off the road, bullet in the head, commit various other infractions, bullet in the head. I've seen a lot of young men... get shot with bullets in the head in this movie. This does not flinch from depicting this, so maybe not for everybody. But while you can kind of see the connection between conscription, patriotism, and that concept, it takes on an interesting dimension in 25, right? Because we've kind of got like a proto-fascist state in the United States at the moment, this all sort of sliding authoritarianism. And even with yet another troubled young man joining the ranks of misguided shooters in the last week, you can kind of see how dudes can get a bunch of stuff mixed up. Like, these are all willing participants. They genuinely think they're doing this good thing. And turns out it's not so great, actually, when all of the people around you die.
Turns out.
Yeah,
believe it or not.
Exactly. But yet, there's this interesting thing in the middle of this film, which is that, I mean, it kind of has to be this way given how grim it is, but it finds this, it doesn't alleviate how awful the premise is, but it finds something really nice to say about the power of connection, like the sort of bonding that happens between these dudes. Like, they don't become best mates or anything, but just the kind of human connection is fleshed out and does kind of balance some of the grimness a little bit.
Yeah.
And sanding the edges off the novel slightly, like there's a lot, there's more in the novel about the like interpersonal violence between the guys on this march. The film's like, there's a bit of bickering, there's a bit of verbal jousting, but by and large, like, it's kind of like they're in this together, and it's just a really shit situation engineered by a really shit regime, personified by Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, who's this kind of brutal major who drives along in a jeep next to these guys, yelling at them, encouraging them, telling them what they're doing wrong. Very much the kind of face of an autocratic American state. So yeah, I mean, look, if this sort of dystopian buzz feels like it's a fit for you, this is a good entrant in the genre. And it's directed by Francis Lawrence, who made most of the Hunger Games films. I made all of them after the first one. Lot of kind of similarities, right? Like,
right.
There's Hunger Games has these post-apocalyptic states offering up tributes to compete in this violent game. Kind of think they might have taken something from The Long Walk when they wrote the Hunger Games. What it means is that this isn't as kind of maybe young adult as the Hunger Games is as a film, it's a little bit more sophisticated than that. So I think Lawrence's involvement isn't a discouragement to see this. This is not a kid's film. This is a grim film for grown-ups. And I liked it.
Yeah.
But I was feeling pretty uneasy afterwards.
I, like, can't do any kind of horror or suspense, but I love the story, so I, like, read the plot summaries after, because that won't freak me out as much. And after you mentioned it, I went and researched the film, and it feels very, like, as you said, fitting for the time period, and maybe it's better that they didn't talk about the, include the violence between the members of the Long Walk, just so, I don't know, builds on that aspect of community, which I think is a better message to be sending out.
Yeah, I think
well.
So. And there's a lot unexplained in this film, which really works. Like, you don't really know what the kind of broader context is. You know, there's been a war in the United States, that there's been economic devastation as a consequence. So, I mean, it is kind of a trajectory that the country's on in terms of the poverty of the Rust Belt, etc. But yeah, it's an effective adaptation, and I think one that's worth checking out if you can handle the grim vibes. Hey, speaking of grim vibes,
let's have some more.
Former president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, got sentenced to 27 years imprisonment last week for coup plotting and various other offences, including planning to assassinate public officials, running a conspiracy with heads of the armed forces, etc. He's just gone to hospital today. His tummy hurts. But he did get stabbed in the stomach. Let's not totally make light of it. But this follows another hospital visit a few days ago where he got a few lesions removed to be examined for skin cancer. Think old Bolsonaro is trying really hard not to go to jail is probably what's happening this week.
Get out of jail free card.
Exactly. I mean, maybe he has a literal get out of jail free card. He's just holding to the last second. But it's a good time just to remind listeners of two excellent documentaries on Netflix that depict the turbulence of Brazilian politics in the last few years. The Edge of Democracy, this was Oscar nominated a few years back. This depicts the leftist government of Brazil being kind of levered out of power by misuse of the judiciary and trumped up prosecutorial charges. And its companion piece, Apocalypse in the Tropics, which charts the rise of evangelical Christian power and a massive percentage of voters that identifies evangelical Christians in Brazil, both of which have propelled Bolsonaro into the position he finds himself in now. And I think whatever happens with this individual, the movement that we see built in these two documentaries will outlast him. It's not dissimilar to a kind of a Trumpian dynasty that we see forming over in the US. And there's a lot of, you'll draw a lot of parallels between the two political systems, and January 6th looks a lot like the storming of the Brazilian parliament that we see here. So they're both on Netflix. They're excellent. Edge of Democracy and Apocalypse in the Tropics. And just to round things out with a final beaming, shining light of positivity, tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. you can catch a live stream of Together for Palestine. This is a benefit that's taking place in a sold-out Wembley Arena in the UK, organised by Brian Eno alongside a bunch of others, soliciting donations for Palestinian-led organisations at the front line of the crisis. It's a bunch of performances and also appearances from famous people. famous people. Some of them are actors, some of them are academics, some of them are journalists. But the artists include people like Damon Albarn, Hot Chip, James Blake, Jamie XX, Pink Pantheress, etc. Benedict Cumberbatch, Louis Theroux, Amelia de Moldenberg, and bloody old Florence Pugh will pop up to say a few words. I'll be having this on tomorrow. Look forward to it. And particularly, I'm looking forward to Palestinian DJ Abdul Hadi, who's going to be going back-to-back with Jamie XX.
Cool. That's exciting.
This set, which will be fun. I think, given how brutal the headlines are, it'll be nice to feel like you're participating in a global good vibes going out to that part of the world.
For sure.
Totally.
That's Flicks in That. And I'm going to go find out what this annoying phone is all that.
Oh, the phone's going off. Thanks, Steve.
Bye.
Bye.
Real orchards use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.